Hi. I don't really know how to start this, but amidst our talks of progress and change and growth, there's something else I feel I need to tell you about. My name is Zach Martinucci, and this is Against the Grain. Every week seems to be marked by a new challenge. I like that. The fact that the challenges are new and, for better or worse, when you solve one, then you get to move on to another. Sometimes you solve one and that allows for another to emerge, but I guess the new challenges that weren't applicable before are a sign of growth. And we often call them growing pains. As uncomfortable as these week-to-week issues can be, I'm currently pretty content with my growing pains. Having to hire more people, or figure out a longer, busier delivery route, or getting more bread classes on the calendar all feel like good problems to have, even when I don't have the answers. But there was a time before the growing pains, just the pains, if you will, in our early days, and that's what I want to tell you about. To give some context, by early days here, I'm talking about when we first moved into this bakery space in mid-August of this year. We'd been working on the project for the last year and then very seriously for the last few months. And then I quit my day job on August 6th to come pursue Rebel Bread full time. I'd gone home to San Francisco for a week and then was back in Denver with the keys to our bakery when it was still this minimal pizza place we had just bought and we had no revenue yet. I was pushing towards the date of Wednesday, August 22nd, to begin our wholesale baking. I remember all these dates so clearly because I felt like I was planning out these milestones. I didn't know if I'd be ready even a couple days before we started with our accounts, but I had thought earlier that they'd want some notice, so we picked that August 22nd date weeks before we knew if we'd be capable. So in the context of this story, we're a week or so out from that deadline. I went in excited because I had hoped that these would be the days of pure creativity and exploration. There'd be no orders to answer to yet, no day job to report to, just me and my new kitchen and creative baking freedom. But in reality, this little kitchen we inherited took a lot of work to get up and ready. I think because it was functional, so to speak, that this was a deceiving task. I mean, I might have recognized the work required if we had been building it from scratch. But I didn't realize the equally significant time and work required in making it just our own space and getting it ready for our needs. So instead of baking most days, I was at Home Depot or Costco. There was always one more thing that we needed. If I did start baking, it didn't start till maybe 11 a.m., which is really late for a baker, and so it would take the entire rest of the day in this ill-equipped kitchen. There was a two-day period in particular in which there were more and more little projects being tacked on, and I felt like I couldn't see the end of it. I felt like we would never be ready, like I would never get those days of creation, like maybe we wouldn't make it to opening day at all. And I look back and I realize how dark those days were. They felt like they lasted forever, and I wasn't eating much. And I remember the distinct thought driving home one day that I wasn't capable of love anymore, and maybe I never would be again. And I recognized in that moment how ridiculous that thought was. I don't mean to belittle anyone's experiences with depression. It's just that I personally had never dealt with it, and so these thoughts were concerning and confusing and sometimes just absurd. Sometimes in the midst of an undertaking like this, you think you're crazy. Well, I obviously made it through, and it was just 2 days. Looking back, there's something in particular, though, that made it that terrible, that really bothered me. I'll remind you that in this time, I had just signed this lease, I had quit my day job, I was visiting my friends and family back home, and I just returned to Denver to open my dream bakery. So naturally, everyone I saw that week said, "Congratulations. Congratulations, Zach. You did it. You're following your passion. Congratulations. You must be so happy. Congratulations. It must be nice to have your own place." Meanwhile, I'm not even positive this is all going to work out, ever, let alone by August 22nd, and I only got to say to a very few close friends that, hey, I'm struggling right now, and congratulations is the last thing I want to hear. But I didn't want to break it to the rest of my friends. They had no idea what was going on, and they were genuinely excited for me to be taking this step. I didn't want to rain on that parade, and I knew I should be grateful for how far we'd made it, that this was an objectively exciting time. But it was awful too, at least for a couple days. Partially because this was my choice to start this business, So any of those negative feelings felt like they were my fault, and I was the only one that could do anything about it. The other hardest part was this mismatch, this having to put up a front of being excited because other people were so excited, when inside I wasn't feeling that. And that made me feel like I was hiding something, or not being honest with myself, like I was pretending to be something I knew I was not. Like every time I heard congratulations, I felt a little lonelier because I was lying to people I cared about and kept isolating myself from those who didn't know what was really going on, which felt like everyone. I'm not sure what the moral is here. I wish I had some advice for if you're ever in that place. I guess, though, that it says something that I'm okay now talking about it. I wanted to talk about it because it really did get better. That by working through that time, staying on course and moving ahead, each day since has been slightly better than the one before it. Up till now, when I gladly welcome the congratulations. It's been a lot of work to get here, and we're doing pretty well. We're growing, as painful as that can be, and I think all of that is worth celebrating. I wouldn't change how I reacted in those early days. I'm not sure I'd be able to either. I think it's worth noting that that's how I felt, and it was real, and it was also temporary. The loneliness and mismatch were just their own small parts of this whole experience. Who was it? It was Theodore Roosevelt who said, "Far better is it to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in a gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat." It's a little dramatic for this story, but hey, those low points really have made the little victories all the more triumphant. Silver tones and a jacket, a funny time. This week's little victories include getting a bagel making workshop on the calendar. It's next Sunday, actually, which is quick. If you're in Denver, join us for our new bagels and beer event. We're going to learn about and make bagels together, and then when they go in the oven, we'll head over to Woods Boss for a beer, and then get to have our own happy hour bagel spread once they're ready. All those bagels and schmear and beer are included in the ticket price, and you can find them on our website. We also picked up two new wholesale accounts, two new places you can find our bread and pastries in Denver. One of them, Method Collective, had the idea to have a bread rack. That is, you can go into this coffee shop on a Friday through Sunday and pick up a whole loaf of sourdough to take home with you. I had forgotten that I had designed the original Rebel wholesale program around this idea of having bread racks in community spaces, like coffee shops or gyms, but it's a little out of the ordinary still and might require a cultural change. So when Method approached us to see if we would do that for them, I was so excited. It feels like it came full circle, and I'm anxious to see if Denver is finally ready to give this a try. I also went up to Louisville on Monday and got to stop by two bakeries that I love, Precision Pours and Moxie. I went to Precision Pours for the first time, and it's actually this tiny neighborhood coffee shop that's known for sourcing some of the best and most unique coffee in Colorado. They also happen to make just a few loaves each day of a house sourdough that you can get with their coffee. It reminds me of San Francisco. Precision Pours had been recommended to me by friends, and actually independently of that, the owner and I have become Instagram friends. We comment on each other's bread every so often. And this was the first time we actually met in person, and I loved making that connection. Later that morning, I went to Moxie, which is a well-known and loved artisanal bakery. The owner of Moxie actually stopped by Rebel the day before, which is a big deal in the Colorado baking world, and I missed him. And then he wasn't there when I went to visit. I did happen to know one of their baristas, though, and the others had heard about me, which makes this whole baking scene feel like the smallest world if I can travel 40 minutes outside of Denver to a little bakery in a little town and still see people I know because of this whole bread thing. Lastly, on Wednesday afternoon, my good friend Emily of Betterish, that's her new brand, we met in the same entrepreneurship cohort, Emily invited me to teach a cooking class for elementary school students. Emily teaches 2 weekly Cooking from the Garden after-school programs for underserved youth, and it's organized by Slow Food Denver. They harvested a lot of potatoes last month, so Emily called me in to turn those potatoes into gnocchi. I've taught quite a few gnocchi pasta-making classes, but it's usually a millennial date night event. It was so different and rewarding to teach kids to make pasta. I haven't worked with kids in a while, and I forgot how excited they are just to play with dough and work with their hands and be amazed at how their food comes together in front of their eyes. It reminded me of why I love this so much, for the same reasons. And that was the biggest little victory of all. In the coming weeks, I want to look at two case studies, if you will. One about other people's community bakeries, and the other about bread as a medium for cultural change. We've just got 3 episodes left in this season, and I'm still piecing together what it means to be a community bakery. Spoiler for the end, I don't think there's one right answer. But we knew that already, didn't we? Let's talk more about that next week. Have a great few days, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. This track was Past the Barbary by Ava Luna on Free Music Archive.